ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
Text number 18, which is written on the board there.
Karmanya karmaya pasyat.
Karmanya karmaya pasyat.
When there are two words together like that, usually in the chanting, karmani and akarma, the pronunciation becomes karmanya karma. So that's just in case any of you wondered.
Come ha detto Maharaj?
You can chant karmani akarma, but it's either way is correct, but it's easier for the flow of the words.
Karmanya karmaya pasyad karmani cha karmaya.
Also, at the end of a line, for example, here we have the end of the line in Sanskrit is in the Roman transliteration. It is at the end of two lines. So the full line would be karmanya karmaya pasyada karmani cha karmana cha karma yaha. That would be one full line. So, whenever you find at the end of a line, A-H, with a dot underneath the H, so we pronounce that Yaha. But for singing purposes, sometimes it is more convenient, in this case, Akarmani Chakarma Yaha. You can also say Akarmani Chakarma Yaha. Both are correct, but just to keep the pace of the chanting, I find it easier to akarmani cha karma ya, although it could be akarmani cha karma yaha. Both ways are correct, but anyway. Now sometimes you'll see in the English or the Roman, you can say Roman transliteration, at the end of the first line, for example, the word at the end of the first line in this verse would be pasyed. Now, in the next verse, yasya sarve samarambha, again, that line, that last word ends in ah. But because it's not at the end of the line, it's only chanted as a, even though technically it would be sarva rambaha, but because it doesn't come at the end of the line, it's just sarva ramba. So are you thoroughly confused now? Okay. So we'll just go on anyway.
Sabuddhiman manusyeshu.
Sabuddhiman manusyeshu.
Sayukta krishna karma krit.
Sayukta krishna karma krit.
Karmanya karmaya pasyet.
Karmanya karmaya pasyet.
Akarmani cha karmaya.
Akarmani cha karmaya.
Sabuddhiman manusyeshu.
Sabuddhiman manusyeshu.
Sayukta krishna karma.
Sayukta krishna karma krit.
Karmanya karmaya pasyet.
Karmanya karmaya pasyet.
Akarmani cha karmaya.
Akarmani cha karmaya.
Sabuddhiman manusyeshu.
Sabuddhiman manusyeshu.
Sayukta krishna karma krit.
Sayukta krishna karma krit.
Karmani, in action.
Akarma,
in action.
Inaction.
So one of these is, the first one, karmani, is in action. And the second one, akarma, is inaction.
Mm-hmm.
So we guarantee by the end of this verse, you'll be fully confused.
Yaha,
one who.
Pasyet,
observes. Karmani, in inaction.
In action.
Cha, also. Karma, fruitive action. Yaha, one who. Saha, he. Buddhiman is intelligent. Manushyeshu, in human society. Saha, he. Yuktaha is in the transcendental position. Krishna karma krit, although engaged in all activities. Translation, one who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. Purport, a person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bonds of karma. His activities are all performed for Krishna. Therefore, he does not enjoy or suffer any of the effects of work. Consequently, he is intelligent in human society, even though he is engaged in all sorts of activities for Krishna. Akarma means without reaction to work. The impersonalist ceases fruitive activities out of fear, so that the resultant action may not be a stumbling block on the path of self-realization. But the personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Because everything is done for Krishna, he enjoys only transcendental happiness in the discharge of this service. Those who are engaged in this process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. The sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna makes one immune to all sorts of reactionary elements of work. In another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye. Out of many millions of men, one is intelligent enough to try to make his life perfect. For the most part, people are satisfied simply with living their lives for the purpose of a little sense gratification, and they die without much more meaning than cats or dogs or hogs or any of the animals. But when a man is intelligent enough and begins to ask questions such as, who am I and what is the purpose of my life, then and only then can he begin to understand something about transcendental knowledge. With a little observation, with a little introspection, he can understand that the suffering which he experiences in life is caused by his work, because he is working in a particular way, he is getting some fruit from his work, and he is getting some reaction to his work, and in this way he is enjoying or suffering. Superficially, he can see that he may work very, very hard, and he may make so many arrangements to get a good result from his work, but finally the result is not completely in his control. There are five factors in every action: the place, the time, the senses which are engaged in the work, the activity itself, and finally, the super soul, or Lord Krishna. So, the conditioned soul, the individual person, can control the place, the time, his own senses, and the nature of the activity. To some degree, he can control. But the fifth factor, the super soul, he has no influence with. We see in Milan, there are so many young men who have gotten a first-class education and now are working very, very hard in business, but only a few of them get a good break and become successful. All of them may be relatively qualified, but only a few come out successful, and the rest have to live in mediocrity. So if a man takes the time to step back from all the running here and there, he takes time to step back and look at everything and ask questions, he can begin to understand. I remember in school reading some poetry from Wordsworth. Anyway, generally scholars, poets, philosophers, they're the ones who are able to look at society and see the problems. The general mass of people are so busy running here and there, trying to make money to live a comfortable life, that they cannot see the problems of life. As Prabhupada used to say, the dog is running here and there on four legs, and the human being is running here and there on four wheels. But what is the difference? The dog is trying to make arrangement for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and the human being has no other better occupation than eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The human being may be more sophisticated in his eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and therefore he can be counted as a sophisticated animal. But he has no time or energy to really analyze the real problems of life. The real problems of life are birth, death, old age, and disease. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosh Anudarshanam. He describes as part of the aggregate, which he describes as knowledge, part of that is to see that the real problems of life are birth, death, old age, and disease. So, how to work in this world in such a way that one does not get a bad reaction? Jai Sri Sri Radha Raman Ki Jai. The Bhagavad Gita is Lord Krishna's instructions how to work nicely so that one can get free from the cycle of birth and death. He explains in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Saha Yajna Praja Srishtva, pardon me, it's in the third chapter, Saha Yajna Praja Srishtva, Puruvacha Prajapati, Anena Prashavid Vishadvam Eshavos Tvishta Kama Duk. In the beginning of creation, I have sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu. The bestowance or the performance of these sacrifices will bestow upon man all desirable things. So the idea is that if you get a new television set, if you get a new car, if you get some high technology item for your pleasure, you also want the manufacturer's instruction booklet, how to use it. Most televisions are generally the same. Most tape recorders are very similar. Most computers are similar. So you could probably play around with the buttons and figure it out yourself. But then again, you might make a mistake and break the whole machine and waste all your money. So better to save time and follow the manufacturer's instruction booklet rather than take a chance to make a mistake. Similarly, the Bhagavad Gita is the manufacturer's instruction booklet how to work in this world so that you will not get a reaction. There are so many guidelines, and these can be called the laws of God. For example, in the Manusmriti, it is explained that one should not kill, especially cows, and use them for food. It is explained there that if you kill one cow, then you will have to be killed yourself. You will get a reaction for every hair on the back of the cow. So supposing there are 500,000 hairs on the cow, then you will have to be killed 500,000 times. So in that way, there are so many rules and regulations. And it is very complicated and very intricate. It is the laws of action and reaction are not easy to understand. Therefore, in this age, it is advised that we chant the holy names of God and try to follow in the footsteps of the devotees of the Lord. And in that way, we will avoid any sinful reactions. Here in this verse, Lord Krishna says, karmanya karmaya pashyad, one who sees inaction in action and action in inaction. So this sounds a little confusing, but if we analyze it, it becomes quite clear. For example, the devotee of the Lord is not necessarily, for the most part, the devotee of the Lord does not work in a slaughterhouse, or a devotee of the Lord does not work in a nightclub, or a devotee of the Lord does not work in areas where he will break the law of God. In fact, the devotee of the Lord tries to use most of his time directly in the service of the deity of Krishna and in devotional service. So a materialistic person may say, what is his contribution to society? He is just a, parasite, right? He is just a parasite. On the other hand, the man who is working very, very hard, he has three jobs, and, you know, he works morning shift, afternoon shift, and night shift. someone would say, oh, he is a very good man. He is working very nicely as a good citizen. If we try to analyze what is the ultimate goal of all our activities, what is the final end that we want to achieve, then perhaps we will see both these people in a different light. The devotee has got a different paradigm, and the non-devotee has a different paradigm. Paradigma. For example, if I send you to Rome to find the address of the temple in Rome, and I give you a map showing you exactly where the temple is. So you get to Rome and you start looking around, you use the map and you start looking around and you can't find the right street. So then you call me up and you say, I can't find the temple, I can't find the right street. And I say to you, well, what's the matter with you? Why don't you just try harder? Then you say, okay, I'll try harder. So instead of using your Fiat car, you go out and buy a Lombardini. And you start driving around very quickly on the highway, and you really try to go faster and faster, and you really try harder to find the temple. But you still can't find it. And then you call me up, and you say, I just can't find it. I just can't do it. And I say, why not? Why don't you just be more positive and go out and find it? And so it just so happens that right next door to where you're phoning from, there's a bookstore. So you go in and you buy all the books on the power of positive thinking and you read them all. And then you get all psyched up and you become very positive. And you go out in your Lamborghini and you really try to find it this time. And you still can't find it. And then you call me up. And then I look at my other maps. And I see that there was a mistake in printing. And I actually gave you a map of London instead of Rome. And you're never going to find it. So the devotees of the Lord, they have a different map. And the non-devotees, they have a different map. They have a different idea, a different goal in their lives. So, in devotional service, we follow the guidelines given by Krishna. And we see the world in a different way. We are also singing and dancing and feasting. And the materialists are also singing and dancing and feasting. But the difference is, with their map, they're going to hell. They're going to take birth in this material world. And again, they're going to work in such a way that they will get reaction. Whereas the devotees, they are performing activity which is called akarma. There is no reaction. And ultimately they are pleasing Krishna. So the devotees at the end of their lives will remember Krishna. Even though they have been working very hard to build a community, to even to take care of their families. They have so many activities just like the non-devotees. But their ultimate goal is to please Krishna, so at the end they will remember God and they will go back to Godhead. And really, it's all a question of how we direct our lives. For example, if a young child from the very beginning of his life is trained to control his mind and senses, is trained to be vegetarian, is trained to bow down in front of the deity, is trained to chant Hare Krishna, then when he grows up, he'll find it very easy and natural. And even sinful habits, they require initially some training, just like smoking. How many of you smoke or used to smoke? Huh? Yeah. So, do you remember your first cigarette? If it was, I remember when I was, 13 years old. I used to be 13 years old. We didn't have money for cigarettes. So we used to take the leaves from trees and roll them up in paper. And we would imitate our parents who would smoke those things. And I remember when I had my first real cigarette, I almost fainted. It was so horrible. I hated it. Isn't it like that? Yeah? Everybody had the same experience? But I was so determined to be cool, just like everybody else. I had to smoke a cigarette. I remember the first drink of alcohol I had. I hated it. Glass, we couldn't get hard liquor, but somebody was underage, but they looked older, so they went into the liquor shop and bought beer. So I hated the taste for months. And in that way, spiritual life also, to some people, in the beginning it may seem a little difficult to control our senses, to control the mind, to take only Krishna prasadam, etc. But as you begin to become purified, you will actually enjoy all of these activities immensely. And when you get together with other devotees, you will feel real pleasure. Katiyantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Devotees enjoy. It's very nice that all of you come here on Saturday night to enjoy with us chanting, and I'm just very happy to see you all, and thank you very much. You're all very intelligent people. I'm not saying, Lord Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Hare Krishna.
Jai!